Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello and welcome to, or welcome back to Spark Radio. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, with a major frog going on in my throat here. See if that works a little better. It is the spring season in the Midwest United States, a very early spring season, in that normally in March our temperatures are in the 40s and 50s for highs, that's Fahrenheit, and we've been in the 70s and up to 80, and driving into my driveway and looking at the hosta plants that stand about 4 inches tall, and trees are filling out with leaves and flowers are blooming, and many of you may have heard that April showers bring May flowers. Well, we're having May flowers in March, and yes, there's still a risk of frost. Well, it's a very, very early spring, and going from very cold temperatures to no jackets to shorts. It's just a very sudden change in season. So it's people being open to, is it going to stay spring, or are we going to have another frost or two, which likely will happen, another frost or two. That's typical. Whether we'll have another snow or not, we'll hope not, because it could damage so many different things, from the apple blossoms, etc. And being able to stay open is such a gift. Being open to the possibilities, being open to the opportunities. And how do we stay open? It's a very good question. We're bombarded with so much information, so much indoctrination is the word that comes to mind in thinking about what we're taught as children. Things that are facts today, that are the truth of today, that may be proven false. As we learn more, discover more truths that we were taught 200 years ago, truths that the world was flat, they believed, was a truth, was a fact, until it wasn't. The fact that humans could never fly was a fact, was impossible, until it was not. So what is it that we believe, that we have learned as truth, that really may not be fact? It's what we believe right now, based on understanding. And as the brain junkie that my regular listeners know I am, we have learned more about structure and function of the brain and the mind in the last 25 years, even in the last 10 years, than in all of recorded history. And we are producing information and knowledge at an almost incomprehensible rate right now. Every day, the volume of knowledge, the volume of information is just growing exponentially. And some of that information doesn't reach the mainstream, doesn't reach the average person. Information about cancer cures, information about healthy eating, information about all sorts of things that, for whatever reason, don't make mainstream news. Although with social media, with Google and Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus and Pinterest and all of those networks, more people are sharing more information than ever before, going outside of mainstream media. Is there an agenda? Being political is a different discussion. This discussion is about how do you stay open to processing information, to assessing new knowledge, to investigating the source of that information, you know, helping my 10-year-old, just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's the truth or a fact. You know, looking at the source of the information, where did it come from? I just heard an interesting statistic yesterday. I was listening to, Wayne Dyer's CD series, and he was talking about that in Washington, D.C., there are 4 pharmaceutical lobbyists for every elected official. That's just scary. It's a lot of money being spent to influence lawmakers, to influence decision-making. Causes me to pause. And as I'm, again, my regular listeners know, my word for the year is health or healthy. John Gordon, the author of many books, including The Energy Bus, The Seed, Training Camp, and more, every year he and his family each pick a word that is their word for the year. And last year I adopted it, and this year my word is health and healthy. And it's amazing how much information and how many people and resources are coming into my awareness, into my attention around health. And that's the focus, the intention is health. Health in terms of physical health, financial health, emotional health, relationship health. So health in all those forms, for me, it's health, it's positive energy, it's healing. So in the last couple weeks, it's been more physical health information and the idea about what we have inside of us, our ability to heal, to be healthy. Now, many of us have grown up believing, well, when we're sick, we go to the doctor, we get a pill, or we have an operation, and that fixes us. And we haven't been open to even the ancient healing arts, the homeotherapies, the acupunctures, the natural healing, the homeopathy approach. And truly, you know, where are we? As the pendulum has swung from pure faith, pure science, and we're coming back to a middle ground to, again, are you open to learning that? Or are you dug in to this is the truth? And that may be my truth. When I say this is the truth, this is knowledge at the moment. Is it something I want to learn more about? Is it something I'm going to use to change my life choices, to make different decisions? And I love reading about the new research in the brain and helping people understand how what we're learning can make life easier, learning easier, decision-making easier. When we work in harmony with the natural way our brain processes, it is easier. We can learn faster, more effectively. The information is stickier. We remember better. When we understand the interconnectedness of our brain with our body. As Dr. Mark Hyman, in his book, A Blood Sugar Solution, talks about food as medicine, that we can get what we need from what we eat. And what we eat now compared to what we were eating even 100 years ago, we were eating many more whole foods, foods that came from plants, food that came from animals that ate plants. And now in our food system, we have all sorts of chemicals, preservatives, antibiotics. So there's so much we're putting into our body that we weren't putting there before. And sometimes we're not even aware that it's there. Or we think that it's safe because somebody said so. So staying open to the possibilities, to considering multiple perspectives, to being willing to try something different and new. Fear can play a very, very large factor. There's a part of your brain, the amygdala, which is like a smoke alarm. It screams, danger, danger, when something's different, something we don't know, something we don't understand, something that is against whatever lessons we were taught as children. And on past segments, I've also talked about that there are things, lessons that we learn as children that are designed to keep us safe. Because our brains are not mature, we don't have advanced decision-making skills yet. And so we're taught to make choices around survival. Our parents will tell us things to keep us safe, to keep us alive. But then we grow up and we take those same beliefs and choices with us and the same fears that we got as a child with us. What will your teachers think if you don't turn in your homework? What will they think if you wear those clothes that don't match? And we start to pay attention to that. And our parents are trying to keep us safe from ridicule, from the teasing and the bullying. And sometimes it's life-saving, keep us safe things. And so thinking about what it is you believe and reassessing, is it serving you now in your life? Or is it something that served you as a child and may need to be released now that you're an adult? Do you stay open? Or is there a fear that keeps you blocked, that keeps you in a routine, that keeps you in a job, that keeps you making whatever choices that you say you don't want to make about food or exercise or relationships? And being open to the fact that there's another possibility, many possibilities, many other options that could happen. And in the Passion Test by Janet Bray Atwood and Chris Atwood, I'm very, very blessed and fortunate to be part of their first certification program to become a licensed Passion Test facilitator, certified facilitator. Got to work with them. They're amazing people who are so open and at this point in their lives and are committed to turning the passion statistics upside down and helping people do what they love to live their bliss. And one of the things that the lessons that they teach is that as we are reviewing and rediscovering our passions, what we love to do, what gets us jazzed and excited. Some people look at it as a purpose in life also. But as you're looking for that, oftentimes our head gets in the way, and passion is a heart thing. It's what we love. It's we feel it in our being rather than in our head. And once we've gone back and discovered or rediscovered those passions, and we go through the process of prioritizing those passions and focusing on our top five passions. And if you're unfamiliar with the Passion Test, I highly recommend the book. And I'd also love to talk to you further about, if you're interested in a one-on-one coaching to rediscover your passions and go through this powerful process, I would love to help you, and you can learn more at brainbonanza.com or at passiontest.info. And once you've gotten to that point and you begin to identify those passions that says, when my life is ideal, I am. My life is ideal, I am using my gifts to serve others. When my life is ideal, I am traveling with my family. When my life is ideal, and whatever those are. And then you end the five with this or something better. This or something better. And then stay open to how those passions, how those opportunities might appear in your life, because they may be different than what you expect. And once you put your attention on it, the reticular activating system in your brain now starts to bring to your awareness those opportunities that may have been there before. You just didn't see them. It's like when you buy that car and you drive it off the lot, that beautiful cobalt blue Ford Focus, whatever it is, haven't seen one, and the minute you drive it off the lot, you see five of them within the first 10 minutes. They were there before, probably, because they all didn't drive off the lot with you. It's just you weren't, it wasn't coming to your awareness. We get so much information in our coming in through our senses that it's filtered to what comes to our conscious awareness. So by having that, for me, the word health and the passions, where are you focusing your consciousness, energy, intention? And that's part of the passion test. What is it that you want in your life? That's your intention. Where are you putting your attention? Are you putting it on the things you love and the things you enjoy in your life? And then the third part is no tension, but to release the connectedness to it and stay open to how it might show up in your life. Because, again, it may not look like you think. And so if you have challenges with staying open, there may be a habitual thought pattern, behavior pattern that can block you. The good news is you can unlearn and relearn other ways of thinking, of believing, of doing, of acting, unless you believe you're stuck. Because if you believe you're stuck, it's very challenging. It's like my Aunt Shirley used to say, can't, never, could do nothing. Not grammatically correct, but powerful. As long as you believe you can't, you say you can't, someone can hand you the golden key to get it done. And because your mind is convinced you can't do it, it will create the stumbling block, the problem. Because there's something called cognitive dissonance, that your experience of reality matches your belief of reality. So what if you changed your thoughts and changed your belief? What if you're open to that? Open to, let's say, eliminating the word can't. In the original Chicken Soup for the Soul book, one of my favorite stories, and I've used it with students and clients, is the I can't funeral. To list all the things you can't do and just keep writing. When you can't think of anything, write I can't think of anything, and just keep writing and keep writing for 3 or 4 minutes what I can't do. I can't fly. I can't do math. I can't make money. I can't be successful. I can't lose weight. I can't. And when you're done with all that, you've had the brain dump, as I call it, of all the stuff around I can't, then you have a funeral. You can put the papers in the shoebox and bury them. You can have a cremation. I've done that as well. And then put up a visual reminder, an epitaph, a tombstone for I can't. And then eliminate it from your language. So what will you say instead of I can't? How about I choose not to? I do not want to, I will not, I won't. And maybe it's, instead of I can't do this, which usually is followed by this is too hard from my 10-year-old, that's relanguaging that to this is challenging right now, or this is hard right now, and it will get easier with practice. This is hard right now, and I can get help so that it's easier. The deal is get rid of I can't. And a cousin to that is not my fault, but that's another show too. And that's related to accountability. Taking ownership of what you commit to do, acting to get it done, and then answering for the results of your choices. So, putting that aside for the show, and I had the opportunity to interview Linda Galindo, who wrote Accountability That Works, the model, and then she also wrote the book, The 85% Solution, and I was very excited to finally get our interview scheduled in January. So I highly recommend to go back and listen to that interview with Linda. And for now, though, focusing on changing your languaging around I can't, and then getting the people around you to support you, to help you, to change your language. And what happens when you let that word, that idea, drop out of your language? Changing you're speaking, the power that that has. I can't do that right now. That's really not true. The truth is, I'm choosing to do something else right now. I have other plans. And, you know, my students caught me 1 year when I used this with them, and I was late getting to a class, and I explained I was trying to get the arrangements made for the food for our weekend trips, and so I said, I can't be two places at once. And they said, pointed up to the tombstone, said, I can't is dead. And I said, oh. And I love it when they get the lesson to the point that they come back and teach it to me and hold me accountable for it. I said, you are absolutely right. We did say that. And so right now with our current knowledge and understanding of physics, I am physically unable to be both working with food service and in his classroom at the same time. And he said, awesome, and off we went. So it's just really being aware of it, having some people coach you and encourage you as you change language, that allows you to say, I'm open to another possibility. Open. And so people go, I can't change my language. I can't. Well, guess what? You're right. So when you're ready for something else, I'm happy to support you, help you, whatever that might be. So you can stay open by changing your language. You can stay open by exploring and learning and reading. You can stay open to something you believe may have been the truth when you were younger that may be different now with new knowledge, new research, new understandings. And maybe staying open to the idea that there are multiple right ways to get from point A to point B. What if we thought that instead of there's the one right way? What if there are many ways? And you know that when you go from one place to another. There are multiple routes to get there. Multiple roads you can take. Multiple, you can fly there, take a train there, depending on where you're going, right? Travel on a ship. So when we understand that there's many right ways, there's so many things that we're learning, one of the best ways to stay open is to continue to read, to learn, to listen, to ask yourself at the end of the day, what lessons were in my day today? Who are my teachers today? Your teachers may have been your garden, your pets, your children, your spouse. Sometimes we get so involved in the busyness and the ordinariness of the day-to-day stuff, we forget to stop and appreciate, to be grateful for, to reflect about the gift of our lives and the gifts in our lives. Being open to those people who show up and the lessons they may have to teach us. They may be uncomfortable. They may be difficult. And what if you believe that on the other side of that experience is something better? A better understanding, a better opportunity. Might that change your perspective? Might that change your emotion and state? Thought-provoking. And that's what this is about, Sparks, to stay open. Stay open to possibilities. To synchronicities. I think it was Carl Jung or Abraham Maslow, one of the two of them, talked about synchronicities. I think it was Jung. The idea that when you're focused on something, you've got your passions or you're thinking about purpose and what you want to serve in your life, how you want to give to people, amazing things will happen. People will cross your path. Opportunities will be there. And you may not know at the time why you're there. It may not be for you. It may be because you will help someone else. You're there at that time because your words are the words that that person needs to hear that can help them move, change, grow. And the quote that I had today in my emails and in my on the website, or the learning site at work, and I tweeted it as well. And it had to do with those small things that you do, that when you, even this very, very small act, whether it's just a few words, here it is. Sometimes when we are generous in small, barely detectable ways, it can change someone else's life forever. Margaret Cho. So my challenge with that quote that I shared on my social media today was to be generous today. And it could be generous with a compliment, with a smile, with encouragement, with just thank you. Thank you. How often do you say thank you? I'm so very grateful that my family, my husband and I have been together for decades. And from our 8 years of dating, so in 1983, we were married. And so we're coming up on, oh my goodness, that's a lot of years. So we're coming up on 30 years of marriage, 38 years together. And I'm so, so grateful that we have committed to using please and thank you and asking rather than commanding or demanding things. It's a much different energy around asking if someone would please do something for you and remembering to say thank you for whoever cooks or cleans or opens the door or thank you. There's a feeling of appreciation with that. So often we forget, and we treat the people that we love the most with the least courtesy, with the least caring and respect. You know, and I've even had my son say, when I talk about, excuse me, hello, please, thank you, Mom, I'm at home. I'm like, and I've heard that from other children that they, oh, I'm at home, so I can act like, it's like, why? Why is your behavior different and it's so good with other people? And then you come home and think, oh, I don't need to say please and thank you. It's like, oh, yes, you do. It's a sign of respect. It's a sign of love. And it also helps to have that positive energy, that staying open, that staying in caring, in being engaged. It's a way to serve. It's a way to say, it's important. You are important to me. So thank you. And those of you listening to this, you are important to me. That is why I do Spark. It's about providing you with those strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge. So that these may be words that you needed to hear today. Resources that can support you today. Whether it's the passion test, whether it's looking at Wayne Dyer's most recent book, which is Wishes Fulfilled, or The Power of Intention, is also good. And as we grow and as we learn, and there's so much happening right now, both in the understanding of the universe in terms of energy, spirituality, scientific research, so much is changing so fast. Can you stay open to the possibilities? And the synchronicities of, oh my gosh. I was talking to someone on the phone today. I'm currently the president of our local chapter of the American Society for Training and Development. And I called our representative in Washington, D.C., and I had a question for her. And as we got to talking, we had met at a leadership conference last fall. Always laugh together when we're on the phone. And she got to share some very exciting news with me today. And then as we got to talking and we were updating on her family and my family, and now my son is within 2 weeks gone from eyeball to eyeball with me to being taller than me at age 10. And yes, I'm only 5 feet, about 2.5-3 inches tall. However, I think he's going to be 6'4". And so in that very short time, there's been so much change. And it seems to come so fast. Of course, he's been eating all the time, and so kind of figured there was a spurt coming there. But as we were talking, she said, oh my gosh, we got to talking about growing up and the changes and pre-adolescence and having that conversation. She's like, just this morning I was thinking about having that conversation and engaging my husband, you know, in talking to kids, and that's just really strange. It's like, it's a synchronicity. It's like, oh, yes. Interesting that we're both on that same wavelength and that I called you today and she got to share exciting news with me and that she's very happy about that. And it's just the timing, that synchronicity of what we're thinking about and engaging with I was just thinking this morning about the gifts I have with young people and the passion I have to work with young people, and looking at an opportunity that's coming up in Chicago in June. There's a passion test for kids and teens coming up. And so being open to, it may not be coincidence, that there may be something more. Maybe it's guided. Are you open to that? Do you listen to your intuition? In that silence, when you meditate, if you meditate, and I highly recommend meditation for physical health reasons as well as spiritual reasons, and do you take that time to just pause and be in silence? Silent and listen are spelled with the same letters, a wise anonymous person once said. When you're silent, you get this nudging. You know, in Malcolm Gladwell's book, Blink, it's the idea that our subconscious, unconscious mind processes information so much faster than our conscious mind, which is why there's sometimes in the blink of an eye, we have this feeling that something's wrong. Something's either about the person or about the situation. Listen to that, because that's how the way that our subconscious or non-conscious mind communicates with us is through emotion. And so it's processed a whole lot of sensory information that's below our level of conscious awareness. Are you open to that? Some great resources about intuition and how we make those decisions in the blink of an eye. How we may have seen something on a billboard or seen something in the periphery as we're walking past. We didn't necessarily see it consciously. Our subconscious mind got it. And it's going to bring it to our awareness in different ways if we're open to it. So can you be open to the possibilities that there's a different way of doing things that may be better than what you're doing now? Who are you talking to about that? That's one of the things I really enjoy about working with Lynette Patterson, my Saving Superwoman colleague, when we do our shows together, that we're open to the ideas that each of us brings to the table, and there's a synergy around that, that 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. 1 + 1 is 200 sometimes. If we can release that need to be right and to be connected to an only result, it's like, well, this is where I am right now. What can you add to that? How can we build together? How can we make it better together? So as we're winding down, looking at what can you do to stay open, the breathing, meditating, eliminating the negative language, the I can't in your life. One of the things that's helped me over the last several years has been the phrase, right place, right time, all the time. Even in situations that are stressful, that I don't see an actual plus in at the moment, that if I can say right place, right time, all the time, it allows me to refocus, to move the blood flow from that emotional hijacked part of my brain into the frontal cortex where I can be more reasoning and more reasonable, because reasoning and logic and problem solving are there. And I honestly, truly believe that I'm always in the right place at the right time all the time. And if that's true, what's here for me? And being open and having, and literally extending my arms sometimes to right place, right time, all the time. And having an open posture will help you stay open too. And finally, think about the people that you surround yourself with in your life. Are you surrounding yourself with people who are positive, supportive, encouraging, who are excited about your growth, who want to support you to live your best life? And if that's not the case, can you choose different relationships? Sometimes you can, sometimes not. And if there are stresses and struggles in the relationship, be open to the possibility of a better way. In the book Zero Limits, Joe Vitale talks about Ho'oponopono, the idea of I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. and how Dr. Lou Henn healed psychiatric patients, never seeing them, just with the practice of Ho'oponopono, the Hawaiian practice. That's another combination of sentences that can help you calm yourself, to be open. As you're thinking about that conflict, that person, it's not about being right. It's about recognizing that whatever's going on with that other person, there's something in you. There's a reason you're seeing it. There's a reason that you're connecting with it. And so Ho'oponopono might also help you stay open. So hopefully you've had some ideas that have expanded your thinking that have caused you to say, really? Or I'm not so sure about that. Not about one right way, about being open to multiple possibilities. And the fact that you listen to Spark tells me that you are definitely looking for more possibilities, for more sparks to ignite those positive changes in your life. So until next week, where I'm excited to bring you Robin Marvel as my guest. She'll be sharing from her new book and her website as well. So please join me next week to ask questions of Robin. And you can find out more at robinmarvel.com, R-O-B-I-N-M-A-R-V as in Victor, E-L. And you can find me at brainfinanza.com, melaniehoffner.com, brain-booster-club.com, and passiontest.info. I'm here to support you to have your best life, to live your passions with your best brain as CEO of your own life. Till next time, stay open, stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.